WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The medical examiner says the death toll in the L.A. County wildfires has risen to 27. With less wind now, firefighters are making progress with the Palisades fire, now 22% contained, and the Eaton fire containment now at 55%. Some evacuees in those fire zones are being allowed to return, and CBS's Rob Marciano reports.
Thousands of structures have been damaged or completely destroyed by the firestorm. Now comes the arduous task of making sure these fire-ravaged communities are safe as residents and business owners start to return to survey what's left, if anything is left. Pesticide, fuel, and lithium batteries need to be removed. Utility companies are also working on power and gas lines.
The ceasefire and hostage deal between Israel and Hamas has not been approved by Israel's government. Israel's cabinet meets tomorrow. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer in Tel Aviv.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been in a really tight spot. He's under huge pressure to sign off on this deal, but if he does, he risks losing crucial support from right-wingers in his cabinet and then perhaps early elections. One thing is for sure, though, this delay has got a lot of people very rattled.
A third day of confirmation hearings are held on Capitol Hill. Today, Scott Bessent, President-elect Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary, has appeared before the Senate Finance Committee.
The breadth and depth of our capital markets, along with predictable pro-growth tax policy and smart, updated regulation, will continue to make America the most popular destination in the world for starting, growing, and taking public a business.
Trump's EPA nominee Lee Zeldin has promised to preserve a clean environment, quote, without suffocating the economy. A truck driver in a Texas smuggling attempt that ended in the deaths of 53 migrants has pleaded guilty to federal charges. He could face life in prison. New Orleans officials have decided that the various routes taken by its Mardi Gras parades will not change this year in the wake of an ISIS-inspired attack on Bourbon Street on New Year's Day.
The city had considered requiring all parades, some of which roll in different neighborhoods, to all use the same route this year. But in the end, leaders decided that wouldn't make a significant difference. Arthur Hardy, a New Orleans Mardi Gras historian, says with the extra security coming this year,
one thing I can just about guarantee we can expect is the safest Mardi Gras ever. There's never been this amount of attention or manpower.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security designated Mardi Gras a Level 1 special event, the same level of security that the Super Bowl has received since the terror attacks of 9/11. Chris Miller for CBS News, New Orleans.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years. Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know. And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. In Oh My Gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild for the season, lows in the upper 20s. More clouds and warmer tomorrow, highs to the upper 30s and breezy. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. High only 10 Saturday, below zero Sunday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will revisit our conversation with Harvey Kay on Jimmy Carter's legacy and the two very different January 6th anniversaries. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, a great partner and a big supporter of the MMIWR March that's happening February 14th, which it happens every year. And it's moving, and it'll be back on the Avenue, on Franklin Avenue at the Minnesota Indian, or the Minnesota, help me here, the building.
The Minneapolis American Indian Center, which we were at today.
That's right. Hey, before I start really messing up the show, we should bring Robert Lilligren on, our friend. I know we were going to chit-chat a little bit, but you could see that I had difficulty with that. Hey, Robert, welcome. Native American Community Development Institute, Community Development Institute. I wanted to add more things, Robert.
Bonjour, Robert, bonjour, Haley. So good to be here. Yeah, how are you doing? It seems like you're struggling a little there, Robert.
Yeah, you're just noticing because you're only on once a week, but Haley notices it all the time. No, just a lot on my mind. I got things going on with my nation and running again. Ooh. But we were down on the Avenue today, and the Minwaukan Sioux are putting some money down to try and get information out to the 11 tribes and the young ones and help them out. And it was really a great thing. Haley and I were there for the presentation, along with a lot of media.
Yeah, sorry I wasn't there. I would have loved to have seen you. Was there a big event? Is that what was going on?
Haley, jump in.
Okay. Well, no, the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community had their vice chair, secretary, and treasurer there today, and they were announcing the IndigiFit Kids program, which they're partnering with a few people. Yeah. It's like a youth program for kids. Yeah. They partnered with the Vikings and helping Native youth get better physical shape and take care of mental health as well.
Well, Robert, and I love the fact that these announcements are on the Franklin Corridor, which we talk about all the time, and how important it was for them to be in Minneapolis and announce this. So kudos to everyone involved.
I agree. And it's good to see the tribes really holding major events right there on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Wasn't that long? It was just a few months ago, right? When MIAC, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, which is an official piece of our state government, met at the Minnesota Indian, the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And I hadn't seen them meet there at all that I could remember. And I just think it's important, right? We all try to work to build these relationships between our urban Indian community, our tribal communities.
Absolutely. And we talk about this a lot. And I had a question with them because there was a question and answer thing. But, you know, we have 78,000 plus Native Americans living in the Twin Cities, and also 100. And I think I heard 110 tribes that are recognized that go to the Minneapolis public schools, different tribes. So those numbers are amazing. And also, it's great to be Native American here in the Twin Cities.
It is. It is. And I think I really love these efforts of trying to figure out how to engage and create representation with all those 110 tribes or whatever that number is. You know, there's 11 federally recognized tribes here within the state. But obviously our population is a lot representative of a lot more tribes. And so how do we find this? You know, we're not necessarily, like, if we live here in the urban center, I'm a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian, right? And there's, if you're not a member of one of those 11 federally recognized tribes, you don't necessarily have sort of representation, but we're sovereign people, right? And we're walking in our sovereignty, whether we're within our reservation boundaries or not. And I feel like the broader, the non-Native world is starting to understand this dynamic and the importance of acknowledging everybody's indigeneity. And it, you know, it's important, but I do love it when the tribes come down to the urban core and engage.
Well, to be truthful, I'm really understanding too. I had no idea of those two statistics that I heard during our Met Council meeting. I was like blown away.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Metropolitan Council, for folks who are listening, that's our regional government here, and I serve as a representative appointed by our governor, Governor Waltz, to that body. And we've just in the last year and a half, really amped up our engagement with the Native community and bringing in Native perspectives and Indigenous values into our policy making in a pretty successful way. And Robert, I really appreciate your involvement in that. Robert serves as a representative on our American Indian Advisory Council, and it's been kind of a different thing, right, than a lot of other advisory councils. It's really having impact.
Yeah, and not only that, Robert, I got to be truthful with you, and I've told you this, there are so many things the Met Council does in the seven county area. I had no idea. Because, you know, I'm focused and I see what's on the news about light rail and all that. And I didn't realize how deep and how much they have to do to support a good life here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, that's a good observation. And it's interesting, as I talk to people out in the communities and stuff, not a lot of people know that much about the Metropolitan Council. It's not the most out there unit of government, but it is kind of important, like you said, in our country, in the U.S., every metropolitan area over a certain number, I think it might be 150,000 or something like that, are required to have what's called an MPO, a Metropolitan Planning Organization. And that's an important mechanism for allocating federal funds to things like transportation projects and other sort of infrastructure projects. But in our seven county region, we have one of the most robust regional governments, and it's actually in charge of some things, right? And it was some enlightened politicians, elected officials back in the 70s, 80s realized that these regional efforts would be more effective, things like mosquito control and water treatment would be more effective if we did it as a whole region. And so they created this Metropolitan Council. It's in charge of our sewer, you know, our water treatment. It runs our transit system here, which makes it a little easier to impact that system when there's really one major provider. We have a few minor providers, but most larger metropolitan areas have such a jigsaw puzzle of transit providers. It's hard to make any progress or impact or build more equity. But we're in charge of planning. We're a funder of our parks and open spaces. And so, it's a robust body that we're going to serve on.
Including you, the people that are on that are really doers in the community and have a lot of background in doing it. It isn't just a ad hoc group of people. These people have been, either doing this or been part of some sort of government for many years and have the experience really to help their community.
Yeah, thanks. That's very kind. About half of us, I would say, are former local elected officials. And then about half is labor leaders. There's people who are really tapped into the faith community, the housing providers. And so it is. It's an interesting cross-section.
It really is. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, and we're going to be right back after this short break. I'm getting better here as the show goes on here.
Sounds good.
Hey, we'll be right back, Haley.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Frank Brown of Minuteman Press Uptown with a question for our listeners. How important are business values to you? When you need high-quality digital print, it matters who you work with. You see, Minuteman Uptown is unique. We're one of the only union print shops in Minnesota providing our team with living wages and benefits. We believe in second chances for justice-impacted individuals who want to contribute to the community, and we are active in local issues. We've been in the streets standing up for racial, social, and economic justice. At Minuteman Uptown, our mission is to connect all communities through technology-driven print solutions. An example of that mission is when I moved Minuteman Uptown to North Minneapolis. We're invested in this local community, and we help small businesses and local organizations throughout the Twin Cities reach their audiences. Reach out to Minuteman Uptown and partner with a printer that shares your values. Call us today at 612-870-0777 or visit us at mpuptown.com. That's mpuptown.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and we are talking... I don't know. We always have these fireside chats. Well, and I remember.
There you go again. There you go again, Robert.
Yeah. Take over, Haley. Holy shit.
I don't know. I almost did it there, too.
Yeah. It was contagious now. Hopefully, Robert won't get it. But, well, you know, what I'd like to do, too, and we only got one more segment with you, is to ask you what you'd like to talk about in honor of my wife. She always says, I always ask Robert what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to hand over the floor to you, or the microphone to you, and maybe we can talk a little politics, local. It's kind of a mess here. It's a total mess.
I'm happy to talk about whatever you like. I mean, you guys are so good at promoting Native American community development activities. There's a lot going on. All my relations are. It's the current show is about to come down. The next show is Rory Wakeham up, the former All My Relations Arts director, who's a very activist artist, and that will go up at the end of February. I think the 27th. I shouldn't.
And Rory's going to be really involved with the MMIWR march again, where he does the silk screens and shows people how to gussy up their clothes and always wearing red. And that's a big job right there.
It's a big job, and Rory does it brilliantly. And that screen printing event is February 12th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center building. And so they They will do it. This is annual. Rory started. Oh, thanks, Haley, for putting that up. Rory started this, building this activity with the MMIW and our community back when he was the All My Relations Arts Gallery director. And it was really interesting back then, you know, and we're trying to figure out, you know, we wanted to make sure that these organizations like Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center and Minnesota Women's Sexual Assault Coalition were the leads, right? And then, mm-hmm. you know, as, you know, Rory as a man and an art director at NACTI and, you know, as the CEO, it was like, okay, we got to make sure we're supporting what these orgs want to do. And he was really thoughtful and deliberate about building this relationship, this partnership. We did a silk screen event back that year, but we also did some other stuff. I got to tell you, like, we brought the Native orgs that were doing support for women who were victims of sexual violence or trafficking. And there was maybe a handful, five or six Native orgs that we gathered around the table in the All My Relations Arts Gallery. And we put together a resource guide, right, to hand out to folks. And we learned during that process, that these organizations had never been sat around the table before together. Wow. And so these people, mostly women who are doing the similar work in different parts of our communities could, you know, come together, support each other, share resources, share their thinking. And so, you know, you might think you're just running an art gallery or whatever it is, but really you're engaging the community, you're strengthening the systems around us, cross-pollinization. And then, of course, the march on February 14th, Valentine's Day, is a major event in our community. It's thousands of people that come out and march.
Yeah, and it's back at the Minneapolis Indian Center. And it was funny, we were talking to Brian, who gave us a mini tour, and it was like, it seems like it's been open for a long time, but really it's just May.
Yeah, not even a year. That's new and improved, right? It's gorgeous. And and then just some other benefits we have. And this is kind of, you know, we're talking about representation on the Met Council. You know, we talked last week about Ramsey County, where St. Paul is now has their first Native County Commissioner. Congratulations, yeah. Commissioner Kelly Miller. You know, and then in Minnesota, we have a Native caucus in the state legislature that is established and funded an office of missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And so that's putting more sort of systemic strength to really address these tragic issues within our community. And so I think that's, for me, I guess that's just a comment on the importance of representation.
Absolutely. And just to back up again about Rory for a second, when he was working for Native American Community Development Institute, he did the teepees on the Capitol, the red dresses, yeah. all these things that were just, I don't know, I can only think of the word explosive when you saw it. It was unbelievable.
Yep, explosive. He helped, that was during the time of Standing Rock, right? And so yep. he really was a liaison to the activists there. You know, we held we did art up there. He did his mirror shields. I don't know if you ever yep. saw those, but they were to hold up sure. to the state troopers and the sheriffs to say that, you know, this is you. You're the vile ones here. You know, it's really powerful. And then yeah. I did his Black Snake participatory piece, which was powerful. And he helped us generate this idea of, we had a fundraiser on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, Franklin Avenue, called the AB Stands with Standing Rock. And this was really an eye-opener for me, because it was a big event. People contributed, people came out, participated, and I think, I'm trying to remember the exact number, but in this one-day event for a few hours, we were able to raise $36,000, wow. I think it was, that we could then deliver wow. to the relatives at Standing Rock. And I didn't know there was $36,000 on the avenue, you know, that we could raise in one day before that. So it's just really one of those, for me, I had to recalibrate my thinking. Okay, we have resources here and we know yeah. how to gather them and to share them.
It's funny, during Standing Rock too, he was doing free silk screens in the museum part, and I went and got my jean jacket done, and I had the with the AIM patch and everything, and I'll be wearing that Saturday at the Capitol. But you know, there was things that Native American Community Development Institute were doing. I mean, for free for the community to come in, get a silk screen, get one of these Standing Rock eagles on the back of your shirt.
And oh, yeah,
Water's
yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one of the eagles on a white t-shirt. I still have that. Right. I remember that initiative. So, yeah, so lots going on. I'm really looking forward to Rory's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun planning up to it. And I'm sorry, I don't have the, I think it's February 23rd, I think. But yeah. Check out the NACD or all my relations arts websites. And
yeah. Well, I remember too that there was like Star Wars characters that were bedazzled and indigenized that kind of freaked me out at first. I thought I was having an acid flashback, but that was from the 70s, early 80s.
And I haven't seen the pieces for this upcoming show, but it continues that theme. Does he call them Smart Wars? Is that his theme? But yeah, that's been an ongoing theme in his work. It's really brilliant. And he indigenizes, like you said, Star Wars characters. And those are, you know, themes of good and evil. And he did a big, especially with youth, a big participatory, almost like performance piece at the Indian Center 1 year where they had the, they were dancing, you know, it was like a round dance.
Yeah.
And there was the wars between the good, war between the good and the evil. It was really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then he'll be back. So that'll be awesome. I can't wait. And I think we might have him on or somebody else on coming up soon about the MMIWR march and what's happening.
Great.
And we'll definitely slip in there the his next showing at
My Relations. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So we got about a minute and a half here. What else is going on? I mean, this is a lot. It's like indoor powwow times happening. It's N'Day Young's having their big powwow coming up, and I don't know. It's good day to be Native.
It is. There is a lot going on. We have we have a lot in this community, right? We're fortunate, and it's so empowering to move from sort of a mentality of scarcity that was enforced on us through forced assimilation, genocide, you know, and to really feel this indigenous sense of we live in a community of plenty, right? Mm-hmm. We have, our cultures have enough. And so there's all the issues you've just listed. There's something of a calendar for things at the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors website, MUID, MUIDMN.org. So if folks want to see what's going on. And then for us at NACD, a couple things we've got going on right now. One is preparing for our municipal elections this year. And in Minneapolis, there was a 7-year stretch. I think this is year 4, where there are elections every year. Just due to things like redistricting and state elections and local elections. And so this year it's a municipal election, so that's mayor and city council. And those are some of the issues that touch our families the most in every day. Yeah. So it's to make sure people are aware and participating in the local elections. And then we're kind of taking that on the road with some of the other NACD stuff this weekend, this Saturday, at the Minneapolis Convention Center, which is right downtown. And there is a conference called the Community Connections Conference. And NACD has been involved with this since the beginning, really. And we've held breakout sessions. We're not doing one this year, but we'll be there present tabling. And there'll be other Native orgs there as well. But it's broad. It's neighborhood organizations. It's cultural organizations. It's, you know, some faith-based organizations. So, yeah, I hope to see you there, Haley. And I'm going to be on the early shift. So I'll be there 8 a.m. to noon on Saturday. So it'd be great to see you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. At least 27 people have died in Southern California wildfires. Some evacuees are being allowed to return to certain Palisades and Eaton fire zones, but LA County Public Works Director Mark Pistrella warns
the properties have been damaged beyond belief,
They are full of sediment, debris, silt, and hazardous materials.
CBS's Raimi Innocencio says the Israeli cabinet is expected to convene tomorrow to vote on a Gaza ceasefire and hostage deal.
The logistics of this deal will be extremely complex. Even Hamas getting hostages safely to a handover point will present significant security challenges.
At his confirmation hearing, President-elect Trump's choice for Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent faced sharp questions from Democrats and Republicans on tax policy, tariffs, and more.
As President Trump has said, we will unleash the American economy by implementing pro-growth regulatory policies, reducing taxes, and unleashing American energy production.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference, saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball, remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years. Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know. And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stand-up comic Bill Burr shared opinions on the catastrophic LA fires during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, like only Bill Burr can. After saying he was tired of people on the internet sitting at home in their underwear, suddenly becoming fire experts, Burr attacked insurance companies, saying they will keep the people's premiums and give themselves bonuses, insinuating that they are the actual looters. John Cena's likability is off the charts with John Cena fans. The sometime actor, sometime wrestler will host a new talk series. Variety reports that Cena will host a 4-episode talker called What Drives You and will interview guests like Logan Paul, Jelly Roll, and Travis Barker in their favorite cars. This is a really original idea that was even more original when Jerry Seinfeld came up with it. What Drives You will air January 21st on the Roku channel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild for the season, lows in the upper 20s. More clouds and warmer tomorrow, highs to the upper 30s and breezy. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. High only 10 Saturday, below zero Sunday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on 2-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss.
If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matinair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, speaking of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, we were at the Indian Center today, Haley and I, for a press conference from the Shakopee Mohawk Sioux community, and had some great information and putting their money where their mouth is and getting support from the Vikings. That was really awesome to see and hear.
Yeah, they're putting together a really great program that's going to include our youth and getting active, not only with our physical bodies, but taking care of our mental health as well. That was great. Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community launches a $6 million campaign to improve the physical and mental wellness of Native youth in Minnesota. It's going to be a three-year campaign to fund a variety of efforts, including a first-of-its-kind play-space research project, which is going to be feedback they're going to take in from the community members. So it's all going to be mainly community-focused and what the community's needs are.
Yeah, the what was that called? Ingi Fit Kids?
Indigifit.
Indigifit, thank you. And they're also partnering with the Minnesota Vikings in expanding team sports and wellness opportunities for Native kids. And that's, again, they're putting their money where their mouth is, too. So it's exciting to be able to witness the press conference. And I know we have a short clip from it that we want to play and explain a little more. Haley, why don't you roll that clip?
Okay, yeah. First off, we're going to hear from Ashley Cornforth, who is the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community Secretary Treasurer, and Vice Chairwoman Natasha Hacker. Here they are.
Good morning, everyone. Vice Chairwoman and I, along with SMSC Chairman Cole Miller and members of our community, are excited to be here today to announce a new philanthropic initiative by our tribe. As tribal leaders, we have a responsibility within our own community to look after the health of our tribal members. And as we are guided by the Dakota tradition of helping others, our tribe is a major philanthropic funder in Minnesota and throughout Indian Country. We believe it is important for our tribe to dedicate ourselves to helping ensure the good health of future generations of Native people and the essential vitality of our sister tribal nations and Native communities. Like all Minnesotans, and indeed all Americans, we have seen how children in our society face greater and greater challenges to living healthy lives and realizing their full potential. Too many children today don't get enough physical activity. Many spend too much time looking at TV, computer, or smartphones. And too many kids have less than healthy, balanced diets. State and national public health statistics show an alarming picture about the well-being of children and adolescents. In short, a large and growing number of kids in America's general population eat poorly, get inadequate sleep, are too sedentary, and spend too much time viewing screens. As a result, it is no surprise that childhood cases of obesity, chronic illness, diabetes, substance abuse, and mental illness are increasingly common among young Americans. Since Native Americans have experienced the widest health disparities of any racial group in this country for several generations, it should be no surprise that among Native American children, the problems of childhood wellness are worse. Health problems are significantly more common among Native American youth than among their peers in the general population. The American Academy of Pediatrics says that American Indian children and adolescents have higher levels of obesity and cardiovascular issues, mental health concerns, suicide, toxic stress, substance abuse, and exposure to environmental hazards than other kids. The Minnesota Department of Health reported that mental well-being was worse across every measurement for students who identified as American Indian, Indigenous American. The Centers for Disease Control reports that American Indian high school students are more likely to seriously consider attempting suicide than students of other racial or ethnic groups. To help address these troubling trends, we are excited to announce that today, the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community is launching the IndigiFit Kids campaign to improve the physical fitness, health, and wellness of Native American youth in Minnesota. My co-chair in this campaign, SMSC Vice Chairwoman Natasha Hacker, will share more.
Thank you. Good morning. As the Secretary-Treasurer just shared, the Indigifit Kids campaign is rooted in our tribe's commitment to help others. This is a reflection of our Dakota value, Wo'oke, which means generosity and helping. The Shakopee McMartin and Sioux community is pleased to announce that we are committing $6 million for grant making and programs over the next 3 years through our Indigifit Kids campaign. We are equally excited to be partnering with a number of organizations in advancing the cause of better fitness and wellness among Native American youth. The campaign will be involved in 5 types of activity. We will commission new research to more thoroughly understand the root causes and map out solutions for better childhood health. We will also provide grants to outside organizations to build more play spaces, increase fitness and athletic opportunities for Native youth, encourage good nutrition, and so much more. We will also be involved in the creation of new programs with strategic partners, including things like gardening programs, dancing, sports camps, Indigenous athletics, and youth leadership academies. We will also work on awareness raising around the risks to and solutions for good childhood, physical, and also mental health. This will involve spotlighting role models for Native kids, but also educating public health officials, state policymakers, Native leaders, and the general public about solutions which can work not only in Native communities, but also for the betterment of Minnesota's general population. Finally, we will consider advocacy for sensible public policies which aid in the promotion of physical fitness and also wellness among Minnesota's kids, Native and non-Native alike.
We are so pleased to be joined here today by 3 strategic partners in IndigiFit Kids Campaign's first activities. We have Kaboom, which is the nation-leading nonprofit organization working to end place-based inequity in the United States. The John Hopkins Center for Indigenous Health, one of the nation's top academic health organizations focused on the health of Native communities, and our beloved Minnesota Vikings, whose dedication to community service and youth wellness, including in Native communities around Minnesota and the upper Midwest, is widely admired and an example for others to emulate.
Wow. Great program. The Indigifit for kids.
Yeah, definitely. It's great how this was all set up too. There was quite a few people. It'll be on the news tonight, and there was quite a few news people out there, because it's really important, Haley, mental health and physical health with our community that's so under appreciated and counted. You know, and that's one of the important things that was brought up today too.
Yeah, exactly. And very much underrepresented in data collection. We know that a lot of just things that they mentioned as, you know, high rates in suicidal ideation, drug dependency, depression, high rates of obesity, heart disease. It's just so many things that we struggle with in our communities, and we don't necessarily have the tools or culturally specific types of resources for us available, because we're just so underrepresented and not really counted when it comes to health data in the state of Minnesota.
It's like statistical genocide. I don't know if that was mentioned or something to those effects, or that term, but we're not in the statistics, you know, and, you know, I believe too, and this is just my own belief too, as the years, in the past years, Native Americans did not trust the government, so they didn't get counted either.
Yeah.
So it was funny, like the last census, which happens every 10 years, there was a jump in Native population, but I think it was just the young ones that were getting counted that our relatives never really cared or did do that, generally speaking.
Yeah, And it's so important to like take care of not only your physical health, but your mental health as well. Like times are changing so quickly. There's a lot going on in the world, a lot of violence. And to bring our culture back, we need to have, you know, strong minds, strong bodies in order to do that and teach our next generations. I think they mentioned too, like our lifespan expectancy is lower than our parents were, definitely. And expecting that number to continue going on the downward slope. Just got to take care of those future generations. And it's cool because this will include all 11 tribes in Minnesota, all youth resources. And it's not just, you know, physical team sports as well. I know they talked about doing some more nature-based activities, having activities for younger age kids, as well as older age kids, like hiking, orienteering, and things like that. But I know that the Vikings vice president, I think, was there as well. And he spoke about some opportunities to teach flag football for boys and girls.
And flag football is becoming a thing, too, especially with the concussion era. And it shouldn't say the era. It's been going on for a long, long time. But people are finally talking about it, where a lot of parents don't let their kids play football because of the results of possible concussion down the rest of their life.
Yeah. And we know that, you know, so many concussions can lead to impacting your mental health later on down the line too. So that's a good point.
Yeah. One of the things too, it's really interesting when we talk about life expectancy, Haley, that Native Americans, I mean, I'm an elder at 60 years old. And a lot of the reason why we're elders when that was made as an elder is that, you know, that was a long time living for a lot of us. A lot of us natives don't average at one time, not that long ago, is average age was believed like 46 years old. Of a Native American. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and kudos to Minnewaukan Sioux out there and the Minnesota Vikings. We'll be right back after this short break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
8 years ago, over 100,000 Minnesotans marched to the state capitol, standing together to defend women's rights, immigrants' rights, queer rights, and justice for all. Now, as our freedoms face new threats under an incoming administration built on oppression and divisiveness, it's time to stand together again. Join the People's March on January 18th at the Minnesota State Capitol. Together, we'll send a clear and unmistakable message. We will not go back. Building on the legacy of the Women's March Minnesota, this year's event will include a march to the Capitol and a rally. You'll connect with Minnesota organizations working to protect our rights. These organizations need your support, not just now, but over the next 4 years and beyond. The weather may be cold, but our commitment is unbreakable. The stakes are too high to stay silent. Let's show the strength of our voices as we fight for Minnesota's future. Again, that's the People's March on Saturday, January 18th at the State Capitol. Details at womensmarchmn.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! You had to take that big, deep breath to howl, and in the middle of a sentence, I do that all the time.
Yeah, thanks for noticing.
Yeah. Hey, we've had an awesome show here, and I'd love to, you know, in this last segment, get our weekly update, Haley, from the governor of Wisconsin. And let's take a quick listen for our weekly update from Governor Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Just a few weeks ago here, a deadly, heartbreaking school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison shocked our state, taking the lives of two, injuring six others, and affecting countless more. As a father, grandfather, and as governor, it is unthinkable that a kid and an educator woke up and went to school that morning and never came home. It should never happen. Not to any kid, not to any educator, not to any person or family, not in the state or anywhere else in this country. I've said from the beginning that I would never accept gun violence as a foregone reality or stop working to change it. That's why this week I announced I'll be proposing common sense gun safety reform efforts in our next budget to help address crime, reduce gun violence, and keep our kids, schools, and communities safe. I also signed an executive order this week creating a statewide Office of Violence Prevention. Our statewide Office of Violence Prevention will work with local partners, including law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, school districts, local governments, and even gun shop owners and firearm dealers to support violence prevention efforts and reduce gun violence across Wisconsin. I'm directing $10 million to make sure the statewide Office of Violence Prevention can begin its work immediately and provide grants to support law enforcement investigations, expand suicide prevention and threat assessment programming, promote safe storage and gun buyback programs, and invest in after-school programs to keep kids out of trouble and out of harm's way. Gun violence affects rural and urban areas alike and is a statewide problem with statewide consequences for people and families across our state. This issue has long deserved a comprehensive statewide response. As we begin a new year, preventing crime, gun violence, and preventing violence in all its forms must be a top priority that transcends partisanship, and I'm hopeful that these efforts will finally see bipartisan support this legislative session. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you, Governor Evers. And, yeah, we put some tobacco out and some prayers for that shooting in that school in Madison, Wisconsin, and made national news. And our prayers go out to the families and the victims and the victims' families. Very important information from the governor here.
Yeah.
Hey, so to change tones here a little bit, you know, we have want to talk a little bit about the big Auntie Energy happening here at the Parkway Theater coming up on January 24th.
Yeah, that'll be with, it's going to be Ojibwe Trio. You're going to hear some comedy stand-up from Deanna Standing Cloud as well as Trish Cook and a couple more. But that'll be this Friday or maybe next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah, no, January 24th.
Sound like me confused there for a minute. I'm rubbing off on you. It's awesome.
I know. Probably we were hanging out today. That's why.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, so it's at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis on Friday, January 24th. 6:30, the doors open, and the show starts at 7:30. Join them for an evening of Native humor. And that's Trish Cook and Rob Fairbanks and Deanna Standing Cloud. And they have a host, Gabriel Nightshield. So that'll be interesting. Four people up there telling, spitting out some jokes. And it's open to everyone. It's a reasonable cost. And I got to tell you, Haley, I've gone to the last couple of them, and they were all sold out.
Yeah. No, that's the word around Franklin Avenue is that this sells out every time. People love the Big Auntie Energy. But if you are unable to attend on Friday, January 24th, I know they'll be doing a Valentine's Day a comedy show in St. Paul, I think, at Indigenous Roots Cultural Center. I think, Valentine's Day the 14th in the evening. So save the date. You want to come join us in Minneapolis for the MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March, which happens every year on Valentine's Day. Brings awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives and their families. You'll hear speak as well. A lot of stuff going on that day on February 14th. Hey, this weekend, Robert.
Yes. Cool
thing going on. Powwow. One of our
favorites. Yes. Yeah, that's up north, I guess, right? just get some information on that. I know one of the things, I have to just change gears before we start talking about the powwow, is that I will be at the Capitol, and there's the, it's not the Women's March, but it's a march to the Capitol this Saturday, and I will be there.
And is that so the People's March?
Exactly. Thank you. And okay. I'll be there, and I think it's, they line up at St. Paul College around 11:30, and they end up at the Capitol at noon, and there'll be speakers, and AM 950 will be tabling up there. So I'll be up there handing out, stickers and talking to people, and that'll be indoors. They'll move it into indoors because it will be a little chilly tomorrow. So I just wanted to give I just thought of that, and I wanted to give a shout out that I will be there, and maybe we can talk Haley into putting on her earmuffs and coming out there too.
Yeah, hey, we could show up with a couple of friends and a group of people. It's always fun when you do it together. Thanks for reminding me of that, though. Yeah, that's a big one. The People's March, I think, is what it's called. But a lot of communities are represented in this march. Come on out, join your neighbors. That'll be fun.
And it's organized from the people after last time Trump won the Women's March. So if you remember that, that was all over the country, but it was a tremendous amount of people up there with big their crowds. Hats and stuff.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Definitely show up. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the powwow up north there on this weekend.
For sure. For sure. So powwows are one of my favorite things, especially in the winter, because we have so many powwows in the summer. We need them in the winter, too. This is Gitche Manidu Gizis, which is Great Spirit Moon. Sorry for how I said that. I'm not Ojibwe. But Gitche Manidu Gizis, Great Spirit Moon powwow will be this weekend, Friday, January 17th and Saturday, January 18th. So all weekend.
Yeah, and it's at the Black Bear Casino Resort at the Otter Creek Event Center. That's not that that far from the Twin Cities either. So if I don't have the energy sucked out of me from all the cold weather that's going to happen Saturday, maybe I'll go up there.
Yeah, you could make the 7 p.m. grand entry time on Saturday.
Or the traditional feast.
They're going to have a feast at 5 p.m. I'm on Saturday.
Yeah.
Good weekend.
Yeah. So things are revving up again. And I wanted to mention this too before we end the show, is that Enda Young always has it's going to be their 26th annual Cherish the Children traditional powwow on February 8th and the 9th, which is a Sunday. And so I'm really excited about that. That's a powwow that I really like to go to, and it used to be at St. Paul Central, so it was really close. And could, but got to go to the east side now and go to Johnson. And
east side represent.
Yeah, so that'll be all right because it's in their field house and it's huge, and a lot of parking there. So that'll be awesome to participate and, you know, get my moccasins out there and start dancing.
Yeah, Enda Young has a great annual powwow. That's the Cherish the Children traditional powwow.
Yeah, and people that don't know about Enda Young, they are they do a lot of things for the community here in St. Paul. I know they have young people staying in there that are homeless, and there's families, and they've really been around the community for a long, long time. And it's funny that, you know, if you ever watched Reservation Dogs and Bobby Wilson wrote one of the series about a similar place of Enda Young, and because Bobby not only was in Enda Young as a youngster, he also worked there with Dallas Goldtooth, and that's how they met each other.
That's right.
So we're all connected, right?
Absolutely. It's that circle.
It is. Hey, thanks, Haley, for everything. This is Native Roots Radio. Everyone, have a great weekend. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jumesko, and Bar Band Friday Nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. LA area evacuation orders have been lifted in some Palisades and Eaton fire zones, but mask wearing is encouraged. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says they're also cracking down on price gouging that's making it hard for fire victims to find housing.
These predators are looking at the disaster with dollar signs in their eyes instead of kindness in their hearts.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israeli officials have reached a deal to return hostages after last-minute snags. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he still expects the ceasefire to begin on Sunday, and
we've delivered concrete progress and we've laid a foundation for success, which we will hand over to the incoming administration.
President Biden is honored at the Defense Department's Commander-in-Chief farewell ceremony and says the real honor goes to the troops and their families.
Thank you for your service to our nation and for allowing me to bear witness to your courage, your commitment, your character.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local